I'm Ron Breeding, FM 89 News. America may be a deeply divided country, but you couldn't tell that from Thursday morning's remarks at the dedication ceremonies for the Clinton Presidential Library. Despite a cold, steady rain, thousands turned out to hear President Bush and former Presidents Carter and Bush salute Arkansas's favorite son.
He was a leader who could inspire other people to go beyond what they thought were their own limits, to join him in accomplishing great goals.
Bill Clinton was one of the most gifted American political figures in modern times. Trust me, I learned this the hard way. And here in Arkansas, you might say he grew to become the Sam Walton of national retail politics.
During his presidency, Bill Clinton seized important opportunities on issues from welfare to free trade. He was a tireless champion of peace in the Middle East. He used American power in the Balkans to confront aggression and halt ethnic cleansing. And in all his actions and decisions, the American people sensed a deep empathy for the poor and the powerless.
After all the preliminary speeches and musical numbers, it was time for Bill Clinton to take the stage. He spoke for about 20 minutes, and here's an extended excerpt of his remarks.
I believe the job of a president is to understand and explain the time in which he serves, to set forth a vision of where we need to go and a strategy of how to get there, and then to pursue it with all his mind and heart, bending only in the face of error or new circumstances and the crises which are unforeseen, a problem that affects all of us. When I became president, the world was a new and very different place, as I said. And I thought about how we ought to confront it. America has two great dominant strands of political thought. We're represented up here on this stage. Conservatism, which at its very best draws lines that should not be crossed. And progressivism, which at its very best breaks down barriers that are no longer needed or should never have been erected in the first place. It seemed to me that in 1992, we needed to do both to prepare America for the 21st century, to be more conservative in things like erasing the deficit and paying down the debt and preventing crime and punishing criminals and protecting and supporting families and enforcing things like child support laws and reforming the military to meet the new challenges of the 21st century. And we needed to be more progressive in creating good jobs, reducing poverty, increasing the quality of public education, opening the doors of college to all, increasing access to health care, investing more in science and technology, and building new alliances with our former adversaries, and working for peace across the world and peace in America across all the lines that divide us. Now, when I proposed to do both, we said that all of them were consistent with the great American values of opportunity, responsibility, and community. We labeled the approach New Democrat. It then became known as the Third Way. It was as it was embraced by progressive parties across the world. But I liked the slogan we had way back in 1992, putting people first. Because in the end, I always kept score by a simple measure. Were ordinary people better off when I stopped than when I started? I grew up in the pre-television age in a family of uneducated but smart, hardworking, caring storytellers. They taught me that everyone has a story, and that made politics intensely personal to me. It was about giving people better stories. That's why I asked those six people to talk here today. When I think of the family leave law, I think of that good man who brought his dying daughter to see me in the White House on a Sunday morning and who grabbed me as I walked away and said, "The time I got to take off from work was the most important time in my life." I think of people like that fine woman who worked herself out of welfare and now runs her own business. I remember the first woman I ever talked to who went from welfare to work. I said, "What's the best thing about it?" She said, "When my boy goes to school and they say, 'What does your mama do for a living?' he can give an answer." Those are the things that make politics real to me, at home and around the world. The record is all in there, what we did at home, what we did abroad. I thank Bono for singing about Northern Ireland and President Bush for mentioning the Balkans. There were many other places we tried to help. But the record is there. Even where we fell short, we pushed forward. And what I want to say is, if you think of the biggest disappointment around the world to me, I tried so hard for peace in the Middle East. I thank Shimon Peres and the children of Yitzhak Rabin and Ehud Barak for being here today, and the current foreign minister of Israel for being here today. I did all I could. But when we had 7 years of progress toward peace, there was one whole year when, for the first time in the history of the State of Israel, not one person died of a terrorist attack. When the Palestinians began to believe they could have a shared future. And so, Mr. President, again I say, I hope you get to cross over into the promised land of Middle East peace. We have a good opportunity, and we are all praying for you. Finally, let me say this. Quite apart from all the details, the thing I want most is for people to come to this library, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, liberals or conservatives, to see that public service is noble and important, that the choices and decisions leaders make affect the lives of millions of Americans and people all across the world. I want young people to want to see not only what I did with my life, but to see what they could do with their lives. Because this is mostly the story of what we the people can do when we work together. Yes, this library is the symbol of a bridge to the 21st century. It's been called one of the great achievements of the new age, and the British magazine said it looked like a glorified house trailer. And I thought, well, that's about me, you know, I'm a little red and a little blue. What it is to me is the symbol of not only what I tried to do, but what I want to do with the rest of my life. Building bridges from yesterday to tomorrow, building bridges across racial and religious and ethnic and income and political divides, building bridges. I believe our mission in this new century is clear. For good or ill, we live in an interdependent world. We can't escape each other. And while we have to fight our enemies, we can't possibly kill, jail, or occupy all of them. Therefore, we have to spend our lives trying to build a global community and an American community of shared responsibilities, shared values, shared benefits. What are those values? And I want to say this. This is important. I don't want to be too political here, but it bothers me when America gets as divided as it was. I once said to a friend of mine about 3 days before the election, and I heard all these terrible things. I said, you know, am I the only person in the entire United States of America who likes both George W. Bush and John Kerry? Who believes they're both good people, who believe they both love our country and they just see the world differently? What should our shared values be? Everybody counts. Everybody deserves a chance. Everybody's got a responsibility to fulfill. We all do better when we work together. Our differences do matter, but our common humanity matters more. So I tell you, we can continue building our bridge to tomorrow. It will require some red American line drawing and some blue American barrier breaking. But we can do it together. Thank you, and God bless you.
Bill Clinton speaking at the dedication of his new presidential library Thursday morning in downtown Little Rock. For FM 89 News, I'm Ron Breeding.